It is February the 16th, 2015, in the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, in the United States of America, on God's good, great planet Earth. The New Makeover is the title of today's webcast, and I'm glad that you can join me. Things are going to change. Things has to change. They can't remain the same. I don't mean it the way that Obama brought about change. I'm talking about change for the necessity of survival. Survival. Got a good question for you tonight. How does the true Christian faith, in light of ISIS chopping off heads, in light of the murders, burning up people, how does a Christian sustain not only his testimony, but his way of life? How do we keep getting the good, sound message of God's love for humankind and how we are to conduct ourselves in this human life and treat each other? How do we do it? How do we do it? Man, that's what I'm going to discuss tonight. And we know how to do it. Of course, we that are truly godly people know that we have to follow a writ. A book. We in the Western Hemisphere call this book the Bible, the Holy Bible. As a matter of fact, what makes it a Hagias Biblos is that the words we believe were God breathed into men, and men wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Undoubtedly, every other faith or religion has that same kind of construct. Well, ours was inspired too. Well, if theirs is inspired and mine is inspired, could it possibly be just a chance, a thought of it? There was a movie that I watched on Netflix last night. It was a sci-fi movie. It was something about these people got on a ship and they went to Saturn or something like that, or Pluto, I don't know, a planet. I forget the name of the movie. It's not important. But the whole thing is about everybody died. It was a miserable attempt at man to attempt to play like he's God. Now, I want to take you way back. I want to take you way back into the day that I came up in. And in the day that I came up in, we listened to music like this on the television. Listen to this. Usually start off, you know, one of the shows that were on TV back in the day was Kung Fu. Kung Fu. Kung Fu was a half white, half Chinese guy that walked all around the old West while corruption was going on, and kicking people down and picking them back up. I'll never forget when the old famous teacher spoke with the young grasshopper and told young grasshopper how he was supposed to conduct his life. Whatever he did, well, God has granted me a grasshopper. In the person of Henry Benz, sweet music comes from this union between this old Christian man and this young Christian man, because we both have the same objective in life, and that the true word of God should go out, not only to God's people, but to warn God's people about false Christianity. You know, that's been a vision of mine for years. How do I protect what I know is true? How do we do it? Do we do it through building huge ministerial confides like that? No, I don't think that's the way we do it. No, God does it. God does the building. Henry will undoubtedly one day listen to this webcast, and he will know that it's true because of what God is doing in our lives right now. Let me fade out the music and share something with you. I don't know whether you ever thought about this, but really, the society that we live in today will not be here very long. No, it won't. It won't be here very long because everything not only must change, it has changed, and now the chain has moved us towards oblivion. So what do we do? What do we do since You have to admit that the world is not the same. Just let me move around in the studio here. Oh, I do that too often. Crammed up in here, and I should be doing schoolwork. I really should. But I haven't done a webcast, and it's after 8 o'clock in the evening already. But how do I safeguard the work that I've done? I found a young man, and his name is there. You can go to his Facebook. I want you to listen to him. I want you to listen to his one of his first webcasts. And I listened to it, and I was greatly benefited having listened to it, because his style, or his swag, if you will, is a lot like mine. And I like that. He says what's on his heart. He knows what he's talking about. He's an educator. He's been in the church long enough to see it crash to the ground. And he knows that. Just a second. I'm just trying to read something here. I was just trying to read something. I just take off my glasses and I forget what I'm reading here. So let me get my spectacles so I can read that. I'm here in the studio, and I have a record to cue up. And I want you to hear this record, because this record is where we need to be when our society starts to crumble and fall through the cracks in the floor. And I want to share with you like this. If you and I were to speak about our faith, okay, could you speak about your faith without giving away that you are one of the strongest believers in God that anyone has ever seen? Now, I'm not talking about cowering out, because I believe that if things get very difficult in this country over here, like let's say if ISIS comes over here, most people are going to cop out, because they've been preparing your mind for it by showing you zombie shows for years. You've made the zombie actors and actresses some of your favorite people. You would not fathom, you cannot think that that could really happen, right? I'm going to tell you, God has been so far removed from the hearts of the American population that if Zombie Land really became true, we would just think that we were watching a video or something and run to the zombies and think that it was a joke until they put a spear through your eyeball. We're living in terrible times when God has been forgotten, when God has been erased, when the idea about God has been cast along the seashores of oblivion. Now, I want you to listen to this man as he speaks about a very unique relationship. Because, and I'm speaking metaphorically now, the God that I worship is the King. Listen to me. Listen to me. The God that I worship is the King of my life. I'm not a terrorist. I'm not a crazy man. He is the King of my life. I don't do always right by him. I represent him correctly when I speak of him. Yahweh, Jehovah, Elohim. There's only one of him. There's not many of him. And the qualities that come from Yahweh, Elohim, Jehovah, if you will, the qualities or the attributes that come from him is always that to which he wills to be. He wills to be love. He wills to be wrath. He wills to be the chastiser. He wills to be the merciful. He is God. I owe everything to him, because everything is from him. I have been taught to believe that everything that I experience in my life up to this present moment He has given me the ability to sustain it in my being, in my life. This is the God that I worship. This is the God that I love. But I can't talk with him outwardly in this new age coming up if I want to survive, because our country has become a godless country. All one must do is turn on the television and see what floods their eyes. Listen to our children singing to us over the radios. I speak with the senior citizens and they said, how can you listen to that music, John? That music is blasphemous. All they talk about is having sex with each other and cursing each other out and getting higher and higher and higher and higher. I'm telling you, it's almost becoming impossible to reach them. I was in my office today in Morio, my dear son, not of my loins, but a son of my heart. You know his story. I won't repeat it to you. But he calls me from New Orleans. He's working, has money saved up. And he called me and he said, you know what? It's a strange thing, because maybe Mario was testing me. Maybe he was testing me, because first when he called me, he wanted to find out, I guess, what kind of a mood I'm in. Mario's 26, 27. And I answered the phone and I said, hello? Hello? This actually took place. And I said, hello, I can't hear you. You must say something so I can speak back at you, Mario. And then I said, I'll call you back, Mario. And then my phone rings immediately. And I said, can you hear me? He said, yes. And you know what Mario said to me? He said his phone isn't ringing much, and he wanted to find out if I still was the same. And I said, son, I'll never change. I'll love you on my dying bed. Are you kidding me? It's the way my love flows. My love flows like a river. Like Jesus said, it shall never run dry. Even when someone is killing you, John. You know, I watch your pictures on that, some website of those 21 Coptic Egyptian young men having their throats cut and their heads set on their shoulders. I watched it. Somebody told me that there's a website, and I went to it and I watched it. And I'm going to tell you what I saw. I saw barbarism. I didn't see religion personifying itself. I saw barbarism, the worst kind of human barbarism. Then I went on to watch the burning of the Jordanian pilot. I never watch a man burn to death in flames like that and his body crushed with a road tractor. Rocks poured on him. Just, it was terrible. They showed that and they put that out on the internet. I wanted to see. And I've seen it before. It's not the first time I've seen that kind of brutality. But I wanted to see this activity move itself in that way. And then I read the letters of the people. Some people holding up for the Quran. Some people saying that the Quran would never say to do that. I don't know what to believe about people's religion. I don't. Because these people would say that God spoke with them and they end up doing the most asinine things, some of the most depraved things. So how am I going to pass on this idea about how I met Jesus in 1967 and how Jesus washed me from my sins and I lived for his cause, witnessed for him when I had food on the table, a job to eat, and now I'm living in a country where God is totally being erased? How am I going to communicate with you when it becomes an outlandish, outlaw thing to even talk about Jesus or to listen? Well, I think Tim Shepherd tells me it's a number call, and it's a nice number. I had forgot that I had it. One of the best numbers in my collection. I'll give you some of the words of the chorus. Come down from your castle into my wishing well. Count all the sunken memories that each dream to tell. And though you may not understand, it's just my way to say, the Castle King and the Poor Man's Dream fill your love's life only with toil and pain. The chorus is a kind of a difficult thing to listen to, but as you listen to this, I used to call him back in the day the maestro of the Christian music that I listened to, because it just had a ring to it. Tim Shepherd, from an album, Inside My Room. Oh my God, what an album. He talks about his relationship to God. He sees himself as a pauper, as a servant, as nothing before God. And he does it so well with music. I hope I got my studio geared up well to play it for you, and I hope that you can hear it from its beginning. Enjoy The Serf and the King.
Where serfs and kings were all the same, and nobody ever had to die. I heard all wealth and power was shared with the common man, and I, the serf, said, sounds to me like a dream in a wonderland. Come down from your castle into my wishing well. Count all the sunken memories they've each a dream to tell. And though you may not understand, it's just my way to say, castle kings and poor men's dreams fill your life only with toil and pain. And as the years went by, I still had doubts about it all. But something burned down deep inside, so I searched for the castle wall. I said, hey king, can you see me from your castle in the sky? There's just no way to look inside, 'cause your walls are just too high. So won't you come down from your castle into my wishing well? Count all the sunken memories, they've each a dream to tell. And though you may not understand, it's just my way to say, castle kings and poor men's dreams fill your life only with toil and pain. And finally I met a serf who seemed a lot like me. He said, I am the castle king, won't you come and I'll set you free. He took me to the castle moat, and the bridge was quickly drawn. I fell in shame to hide my face as the serf turned to take the throne. You know he came down from his castle into my wishing well, picked up the sunken memories with each their dream to tell. Though no one else could he understood the words I had to say, the castle king changed everything. Now I walk with him every day. In all my dreams I never schemed to surf with a smiling face, but now it's true I'm telling you, 'cause the surf and the king embrace. Now it's true I'm telling you, 'cause the surf and the king embrace.
See, my friends, you got to pick up the symbolism in there. Man, see, they're talking in symbols. Tim is singing in symbols. It's just such a beautiful, beautiful number. I'm going to share with you, because I can, share with you the words a little bit. And so you can hear it from another perspective a little bit. Listen to this last thing, and then you pick it up. Because listening to music like this is not listening to the kind of Christian music they play today. The kind of Christian music they play today doesn't speak of reverence. You know, I have to poise whenever I speak of God. I have to poise because I'm human. And you know, I hear so many arguments today. Oh, there's no God. There's no God. That's why they're fighting over there. And that's why they're cutting off heads. No, 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 no. No. Every 10 years, our population, I don't care where we live, whites, blacks, Asians, Hispanic, whatever food group you're in, we're becoming more and more corrupt as a people. And the religious people in the world, oh my goodness. I'm glad that, oh my goodness. I'm thinking about the horrific sights that I've seen. I was talking with the another Christian man was in my office when I viewed it. And I told him, I said, you know, sometimes I think they need to show these things to Americans to wake them up. And he said, no, the children couldn't watch that. And I said, Reggie, what are the children watching on cable? They've dehumanized life to that degree. That's why you got children walking in there killing their parents, blowing their grandmama's head off. Because, well, for whatever reason. Don't tell me about children. Our children are a lost cause because we've dropped the ball tremendously. And we have a job to perfect as people that believe in God. I believe it was a dear friend of mine said on his Facebook today, he says, you don't need God to be moral. Well, I tell you one thing. Yes, you do, because if I didn't have God, I would be in a mess right now. I would be in jail. If I did not have God, I would be in jail because I would have taken what I wanted. Immediately, I would have taken it, and it would have turned out real ugly because that's how bad I wanted it now. And I know right from wrong, but you see, God supersedes that anti-intellectual quibble that I read on a dear friend of mine's Facebook page. It was so ridiculous, I responded quickly without knowing what the diatribe was, and I felt ashamed because I promised myself that I would never become engaged in foolishness. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. I am no fool. And I know that if these fools in our country continues to do that, that looking at a zombie TV show will only be the preview of what's going to happen to most of the people in this nation. I don't know, my daughters, when they hear me talk like this, they say, Daddy, you're still telling that same old story. I believe in the book of Revelation. I'm not crazy. I don't have no bullets and guns and things to bring it about. I'm a Christian. I love folk. You know what I think I need to hear from the evangelical community? I need to hear some of these testimonies of some of these Muslims you've been sending your missionaries over there for years to get saved. You need to send the Muslims back in there to talk to their brothers to be ye saved. Because, man, they cut. I guess those people would cut off their own mama's head. What if your mama was a Christian? Would you sacrifice her like that? Man, this is the most asinine thing that I've ever heard of in my life. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, we have in this country, hooray for the red, white, and blue. We have in this country the greatest military force in the world. And we can't find 2,000 or 3,000 blibber lips with knives cutting off heads. Because you know why? Because it's larger than that. This thing is big. This thing is big. This thing can spread and come over here like wildflower. Wildfire. That's what I wanted to say. What did I say? Wildflowers? Wildfire. Not wild flowers, but a wild fire. And see, it could be that some religious people have come over here looking like mild flowers, but are really a part of the wild fire. Now, that's the way I'm feeling these days. Because when I saw them heads rolling and people coughing and fire burning up people like that, oh, Lord, all I could say was, Lord, please give me your saving, protective spirit like you gave to Stephen when he was stoned to death. Do you remember that beloved chapter when it says that the first deacon in the Christian church was stoned to death by some of Israel's highest religious leaders? Oh, knocked his brains out. If you want to find some of the biggest, cruelest murderers that you've ever run into, go to a church. I'm not talking to, I said go to a church. These people would do anything to hold their position. I've been standing at this usher door for 38 years and you asked me to step down. Fool, you old and crippled, and the people, you can't even hear what they're saying to you. How can you be an usher? I'm telling you, out of their minds. Should I give you another promotion? Okay, let's call him Deacon Jones. Okay, that's a common name. Deacon Jones. He always got to say the prayer at the beginning of the meeting. Now wait, you got Deacon Forbes, and you have Deacon Rogers, and you have Deacon Smith, has never prayed. They've been there 5 years because every time you have a board meeting, Jones open up with, come on, now you know I'm telling you the truth. The hatred starts to build right there. Because Jones thinks that he's losing his place. And that's not God. God has nothing to do with that bull crap. And since we've done that to the churches, we've allowed that in here, we've filled them with women, and God has never. And I'm not saying that women are not worthy to share the good news. I'm not saying that at all. But if you follow the Christian principles of the Bible, it says, and God does not usurp a woman to teach or to usurp authority over the man. She's not to do that. But our churches have given ourselves over to these women. I wonder what their message would be if ISIS came over here and started chopping off some of your members' head. Well, I got a message for them. If ISIS does ever come this way, I would just say, this. I was traveling down the road that no one can see. They would just turn their heads and just laugh at me. But that's all right. That's all right. And I would blaze my trail, people, with the sword, and I would travel on. No one else could see the weary road I was on. But that's all right. That's all right. It's all right to be happy. Heck, it's all right to be sad. And when the world is turned against me, I can be glad. For when the sun is shining, I'm not alone. And I see through the trees that I'm just not far from home. Now, let's go back to that guy again, Tim Shepherd. Because see, like I told you, this album, Inside My Room, was one that changed my life forever. I'm so glad that I still have the vinyl and the vitality to listen to him. As a matter of fact, what I want to do, because I want to hear, because my studio's limited, I got a mono thing here. I got to get some more money to, here we go. Wait a minute. There we go. I have to get some more money so that I can buy some more equipment to get stereo, so I can't afford that right now. So I had to adjust something here because I want to hear it loud in the studio as you hear it. Tim Shepherd from his album Inside My Room, and I think that this record is one that you will be able to carry with you for the rest of your life and to encourage you. Whatever happens to us in this country, I would hope that we would start extolling God, giving him the praise and the glory in our lives, and stop looking to our own wretched lives. Tim would say, it's all right.
All right, yeah.
Tim Shepherd would say, it's all right, PJ. Let it be. Let it happen. It's all right. Listen to the words of Tim Shepherd. Sing it, Tim. Encourage us.
It's all right to be happy. It's all right to be sad. And when the world is turned against me, I can be glad. For when the sun is shining, I am not alone. And I see through the trees that I'm not far.
Talking about leaving this planet, not far from home. Yeah, it's all right.
I know not everyone would choose to carry on this way.
That's right.
But I see signs of others who have passed this way, and it's all right. And now I know my destiny. See through the trees that I'm not.
I was thinking about something as I was listening to that number. Thank you, Tim Shepard. It's all right. I was thinking about something. I know we don't want to think about these things because what I'm about to say to you right now is not very... It's not the kind of things you want to think about. You know how people stage things, you know? And I'm not lessening the death of these people at the hands of lunatics. And what I mean by lunatics, in any decent society, anyone that would do anything like that to a human being, God help me. I was wondering why those men didn't. Why they all walked in a row so silently. Just hear me. I'm a Christian man. I'm an old man. We can't. We have to... I'm searching for the words because I don't want to... They didn't seem to struggle. That was problematic to me. They didn't struggle. Yeah, you know you're captured. And you know what they're going to do to you. I'm speaking to the men. I'm speaking to the men now. I'm not speaking to the women because... And it's too difficult for some men in our country to even think about it. And that's what's sad about it. When somebody's coming at you to destroy everything, your heritage, your life, everything, you don't just walk there with them down the river because they caught you. They never get me on the river. I would start preaching about Jesus. I would say, I know he's coming to get me. I would ask the Lord to protect me, but I have to. I would not walk into my death like that. Man, I know a lot of people, listen, just hear me out. Men, I'm talking to the men. There comes a time, brothers. Those were Egyptian Coptic Christians. I don't know the circumstance of those men being captured by them. I don't know how they got them or anything like that. But I know some Coptic Christians here. And when I think of them, Egyptian Coptic Christians, I know some. And when I think of them being hurt like that, I'm not gonna just stand there. I don't know. I make these webcasts. I ask myself, John, you're too damn old for this. Nobody's listening to you anyway. Why don't you just go to sleep? I'm telling you guys something. Listen. Men, young men. See, I don't know who to blame. Our government got us enjoined in these people trying to get this oil, trying to get all this stuff, and so there goes that dog. What is? Oh, it must be my dog is out there. Next, anyway, men, it's time to stand up, and as we stand up for something, it's going to be ugly. It's going to hurt. But nobody struggled. I guess maybe that's the best way. I don't know. Oh, God. I'm living. living in, you know, I'm living in terrible times. I'm living in terrible times because you can tell by listening to me do this webcast, I think deeply about things like that. Bro, man, I heard you outside messing with those other dogs. How could you? How could you? I'll be all right. You know, bro, man was outside and he felt my heart and he walked in because that's the way the dog knows when his owner is feeling down. And you heard the dogs barking outside. This is my office window, the side of the house. He comes in through the back door and comes right here just to look at me to see if I'm okay because he felt my heart out there. And if you people can't feel what I'm saying about those people that died, their families, just think about it. Every person that dies over there, their families are ruined for the rest of their lives. The culture is slightly decimated because a loved one is lost. Same thing happened during World War I, World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnamese War. I'm only mentioning the ones that we know about with our country right here. Think of the hundreds and thousands of lives that were lost. You would think that humans would have learned their lesson by now. You would think that faith in God would have been so strong that we would not be living to see these and to hear about these horrific things that is happening. For those of you that hear my voice, you can do something. And what you have to do is you have to embed the idea of a wholesome God in the heart of as many human beings as you can. But you cannot, you must not do it the way the religionist has done it over the year. Teach them that they have an obligation to be human towards their fellow human beings, that God would want it. I don't see God as a tyrant. Yes, I see God as a vengeful God. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, and he's the only one that can rightfully give vengeance. But I don't see him as a vindictive taskmaster, no. I've spoken enough. We are living in perilous times. And seriously, I've heard of terrible situations, but this is one of the worst times that I think you could live in this century, to see this kind of bloodshed taking place. And nobody can stop it. That's what fools me. That just throws me off. Nobody can stop it. Well, we don't know what. You can put a damn man on the moon, right? Right? You can put a dude on the moon, right? I feel so, so bad for the families and the friends and the loved ones, the acquaintances. You know, we had a famous newscaster killed in an automobile accident, and you know, I'm sorry for his family. That's a sad thing. But what about those families over there? What about the Nigerian families and the school kids and the Buku gang? I won't say Jesus if you know, if you see. In that there is God, he is more than aware of what's happening here. But he has also commissioned a few of us, just a few of us, because it doesn't take many, just a few voices to seem to be crazy, to tell them that God is saying, unless they honor him, that he will end our time in history. So one person and I was having a conversation about that very subject matter, the ending of time in history, and I told them, I said, oh, that happens in our age. Every time one of us dies, our time in history has ended. And then eternity sets in. A retribution, if you will. Not Christian retribution, none of that. You see these crackpots holding signs, some of you going to go to hell if you love the same sex. No, you're not. You're going to go to hell if you practice abominable acts in God's sight and God told you not to. Now, why would anybody know what God has said and do it and tempt God to keep his promise? I've enjoyed myself tonight, but it's a sad night because there's more people dying over there. And some of the headlines that I see and things going on in this country is just completely, this country has gone wacko. Did you hear the latest story? I'm not going to talk about it. It's Black History Month, right? Again. And in a school, the teacher said, well, pick out a black person that's a hero in your mind and write a paper on him. This child chose to write on Malcolm X, and the teacher refused and said, oh no, you can't write on Malcolm X because he was wicked and evil and an immoral man. And of course the community got wind of it, and everybody else, the mayor and everybody else, went down there, and the principal apologized. Well, we was wrong. You know why? Because see, nobody wanted to listen to Malcolm, but Malcolm was correct. Malcolm was correct when he said, arm yourselves. Now, I'm going to share something with those of us that believe in God. God gave you that family. See, I don't like this walking around in orange suits and everybody's walking like you're a dang robot or something and letting somebody chop your head off. What happened to the men in this country? I said, you got the camera rolling? I said, the judgment of God is coming down on all you heathens. Cut this head off and offer it into the God of the underworld, which is who you following. Maybe God, Jehovah, will give my dead head strength to preach to you in Hades. But to go out like that. I mean, come on, guys. Who are they going to cut my... Yeah, they're going to cut more than your head. They're going to cut your gizzard out and everything else. They probably torture me to death. And try to, you know, I would just pray that God would kill me instantly. Give me an instant heart attack. We have been so feminized. We won't even show that stuff on our televisions to the citizenry. That's what you need to do, is show them all of that. And say, now we need to come hard and firm on our God. And all you atheists out there that it ain't no God, all right, put them on the front lines out there to try to protect their country. Because see, we give you the freedom to be a God hater in this country. And now ISIS, the no God people, are coming over here. Defend us or defeat us. Somebody got to think of some kind of a scheme. Do you really believe that the United States of America, my country, with all the power that we have and the military power that we have, cannot control a bunch of rebels? That would be like the British fleet on the Atlantic Ocean fighting a fleet from Samoa. See what I mean? It doesn't make any sense. But people are dying. Well, and I'm going to stop crying. Thank you for coming to the website, listening to another webcast. And please, much prayers. I'm soliciting for Henry Benz. Pray that God may touch his body and heal it. He has this cough that I'm kind of concerned about, and that will give him the strength to to go ahead and forge ahead in doing what he's doing for his generation, not for mine. We had our chance. This is for his generation. And I ask you folk to listen to his blog, because his personality is somewhat like mine. Thank God it's not as rude as I am. But he's a very fine young man, loves God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and intent. And he is requesting your prayers. And all I'm saying is that the change is coming, because when I shovel off this mortal coil, pass away, all of my work is going to him. And what happens to it after that, only God will know. But I had to solidify that prior to my leaving this planet, because it's my life's work. And I will only give my life's work to a person that I feel has the same spirit that I have to share this. It cannot be done, and I would not even turn it over to anyone in the organized church, because they would try to either sell it or make a profit off of it, and it wouldn't be a ministry. And my ministry is very, very unique. You know that because you just sat through 51 minutes. God bless you. You know what the drill is. Whatever you do, stay in the Word.